American Inc. presents Wake Up with Patty Catter. Now, here's your host, Patty Catter.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be back again this week. And today I have a special treat for you. I have Jara Hutchins on the show. Jara is very beautiful and talented. And besides that, she is incredibly smart and strong. And Jara, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you on the show. A lot of times we talk about safety, and I've had several shows about guns and gun rights and things like that, but I haven't had a woman instructor on the show, so I'm really excited to have you on.
Well, thank you very much, and big thanks to Yehuda for kind of putting this together accidentally.
Yeah. I've had him on my show too. He's amazing. If you all didn't catch that show, go back and listen to Yehuda's interview. We talked about his books for children that talk about gun safety. Very, very interesting.
Yes, he's a wonderful person. I just enjoy him. We just had drinks the other day.
That's the post that I read that I noticed that you were commenting on. And I was like, wait a second, he says she's awesome. So who is this person? Because she really must be awesome if he's saying that.
Actually, he had drinks and I had tea because I'm on 75 hard. So I can't drink until June 25th.
So you're counting down the days.
Yeah. I know the day. I know the day.
I would love it if you could tell my listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from and how you grew up. And then we're going to dive more into your story about your courses that you offer.
Absolutely. I grew up in East Texas, almost to Louisiana. Really great childhood in so far as I got to do a lot of stuff outside. I learned to shoot at a young age. So when I moved to the city, when I was 19, it was kind of a culture shock for me because there were a lot of people that had never touched a gun before, that had never really gone to do things by themselves. I mean, we were, you know, hunting before school and fishing after school. And, you know, we were kind of always on our own and taught to be self-sufficient. So I had a stalker issue in my early 20s, which prompted me to dive more into handguns. I'd always been a shotgun rifle person. And when I started going to the range by myself and my friends started noticing that, they wanted to go too. And so I kind of inadvertently started teaching my friends how to shoot, and I really liked it. So I took some NRA classes, I took some pistol instructor classes, and then I started my business Clearing the Chamber 13 years ago. And it was just a part-time sort of side hustle endeavor. And then in 2017, I went full time with it, and I've never looked back. I've consulted on gun ranges. I've helped build gun ranges. I've created events that are, you know, super female specific, but I've also done, you know, male oriented events, right? I came up with an event called Smoke and Guns where, you know, we shoot guns and we do some instruction and then we smoke cigars and drink bourbon afterward. So I just really took all the things that I loved and turned them into a business. I'm also in the Texas State Guard, which is basically the Army of Texas. So some states have a National Guard and a State Guard, and we are one of those. So we belong just to Texas. So the president can't tell us to do anything. It's just the governor. And we're usually deployed for things that involve Texas, like state emergencies, weather emergencies, hurricanes, things like that. And so now I've kind of moved on to more gun rights advocacy and educating women on why these things really matter. And I didn't want to do it, but I felt like I had to because I was seeing that women weren't being represented well when testifying before Congress on gun rights. It was always, and no offense to men, like we need men, but it was always old white dudes, you know, that were going to testify. And we've heard that story. We've heard that spiel. And they already know about that. But what they don't get a lot is a minority or a female perspective on it. And we've got to be more vocal about what that looks like. So that's why I'm here. That's why I do these podcasts. And that's the mission. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I was raised in a house where we always had guns. And I remember some of my friends' parents would say, "Oh, I can't believe your dad leaves the guns laying around." And I was like, we knew, we were taught how to respect that gun and how to use it. And we were not supposed to touch it. You know, you don't play with it until there's a proper place and time, of course. So I love the fact that you were out hunting and fishing when you were younger. I did the same thing. So one of the things that I really liked hearing was when you were talking about testifying in front of Congress and telling about how come women need, you know, would benefit from carrying a gun. That's huge because I'm all of 5'2" and, you know, there are a lot of men who are bigger than me, stronger than me. What happens if you're, you know, at an event and somebody starts shooting, do we cower and hide, you know? So I appreciate all of those things that you're doing for advocacy as well. Could you tell me about the first time you taught a class? Do you remember that time and what was it like?
It was really nerve-wracking because you realize that you're responsible for everything that you speak into someone's mind. And are you, you know, are you telling the truth? And are you doing it the best way possible? And I think that Rob Pincus probably put it best to me once when he said that even as instructors, we're ever evolving and we have to be able to go back and say, maybe 2001 instructor Jarrah wasn't as good as 2021 instructor Jarrah. And, you know, maybe we should, you know, I mean, that was obviously 20 years ago. I wasn't instructing 20 years ago, but things change, gear evolves. The study of physical mechanics becomes better. And so we have to be able to evolve our instruction and we have to be big enough to go, hey, maybe what I was teaching 10 years ago wasn't the best. Right. And so that, and that's why we stress as instructors to our students that you have to continue. This is a very perishable skill. You have to continue to practice this and you have to continue to go to classes, even if it's a class that maybe you've already taken, because things change, ideas change. And so if you're not keeping up with the newest parts of it, you may be working in old ways that, you know, could actually have a terrible legal ramification for you, right? I mean, when we grew up, I don't think there was proper gun storage laws, right? So our parents couldn't necessarily be prosecuted. And yeah, a lot of us listened, but some of us didn't, right? And so we have to continue to study those things that are changing in order to be as safe as possible. Mm-hmm.
So true. I just remember my dad's guns were always in glass cabinets. You know, you could slide the door open anytime you wanted to. We had a whole ammunition stock, you know. I don't even remember how many guns we had, a lot of guns. But it was always just a fun thing in our house too. And it was, you know, they were there if we needed protection, but it was very recreational as well. So do you just go out shooting for fun?
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite thing to do besides drink bourbon, you know what I mean?
And smoke cigars.
Yeah. I mean, it's my favorite thing to do. I enjoy the skill of it. I enjoy continuing to get better at it. You know, I even enjoy the frustration that comes with me going, oh man, I haven't shot in a while and I'm not as good at this thing that I used to be good at. Right. So, I mean, I shoot a lot of steel, love doing that. And, you know, when I haven't shot in 6 or 8 weeks or whatever, because I've been traveling or, you know, working a lot or teaching a lot, even as a teacher of guns, sometimes you don't get to shoot as much as you want to because you're busy teaching. And so, you know, it's even a perishable skill for us. And I'll find myself, you know, even anticipating the recoil that much, you know, because I haven't been behind a firearm in a while. I probably haven't shot my AR in 6 months, right? So how good am I going to be with that? So yeah, I mean, I love to go shoot for fun. It doesn't get old for me. Sometimes talking about guns gets old for me, but never shooting them. Mm-hmm.
So what is your favorite gun that you would suggest to use for protection?
So that's a question that I get a lot. And it's a very, it can be a complicated answer. My favorite gun that I carry the most often is probably going to be the Glock 43X. Why do I love it? The simplicity of it. It's easy to take apart. It's easy to put back together. It's easy to clean. It's got like three parts to it. It's reliable. It's small enough for me to conceal, but big enough for me to understand that, you know, I'm going to pack a punch. Love the 9mm caliber. But that answer is going to be different for everybody. You know, I enjoy not having a safety. There are some people that are like, I have to have a safety. And I think that a lot of times those people aren't far enough into their training to understand why safety may or may not matter. But that doesn't matter. I mean, if they want one, get one, you know, and you can still train to disengage that safety very quickly as you draw from the firearm. So I have zero problem with people who want a safety, but if that's something that they want, Glock's not going to be for them. So that's my favorite, but a lot of other people would tell you that SIG is the best, or Walther is the best, or Ruger is the best, or whatever, Kimber even. But I've always been a Glock girl.
So what about people who are sleeping in the middle of the night and they hear somebody breaking into their house? And I've always been told, you know, a handgun's probably not the best in that situation. I think any gun's better than no gun, obviously. But what about the people who say, oh, you need to have a shotgun next to your bed?
So this is all based on your lifestyle. And this is why having a personal firearms instructor is very important. These are not questions that you ask dad or grandpa. I mean, now, if your dad or grandpa is a firearms expert, you know, or a self-defense expert, sure. But most of them aren't, right? So you have to think about lifestyle. Do you live in a home or do you live in an apartment? Do you live in the country or do you live in the city? How close is your nearest neighbor? Like, all of these questions need to be answered before we determine what is going to be the best home defense weapon for you, right? Also, what kind of ammo are you putting, you know, into it? That has bearing, right? A lot of people, you'd be surprised at the amount of people that don't know the difference between full metal jacket and hollow point, that don't understand plus P rounds. Like, there's a lot of people that don't yet have that education, and yet they're still like relying on, you know, people who also don't have that education to make that decision. So, do I think a handgun is the best option? For me, it is, in where I live. But don't think I don't have other options too. It really depends on the situation. And a lot of people, and this is one more thing I want to add to that. People also don't understand how valuable a layered defense can be, right? So if you wake up in the middle of the night and your handgun is your only option, but you have no idea where the threat is coming from, that could be a problem. So we have to also bring into consideration our camera system and how accessible is that? Is it on our phone? Do we leave it up at night? Can we see it immediately when we pick up the phone to understand where the threat is coming from? Because that helps us understand in which direction do we need to move or in which direction do we need to shoot? And then we have to assess where that target is and what lies before it and behind it, right? Is where the target is behind my kid's bedroom? Well, I don't want to shoot at my kid's bedroom or my neighbor's bedroom, you know, if my neighbor's bedroom's right behind the threat. So those are all things that we have to consider. And a lot of people think that it's just an easy, easy answer. I get DMs all the time on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. What's the best home defense gun for me? I got questions, you know, I got questions before I can answer that.
Do you offer online consulting at all?
Yes, absolutely. I do. I'm actually revamping my website right now. It's clearingthechamber.com. And I'm doing a lot more online stuff. I think the absolute 100% best way to learn how to shoot a gun is going to be in person. But that doesn't mean that we can't talk about your lifestyle and talk about, you know, and assess, you know, the best things for you. You know, I have a lot of women that are asking me, moms that are asking me about how to train their daughters. You know, where do I start with that? What age is appropriate, right? And, you know, that answer is different based on the child, you know, and their maturity or any behavioral issues that they have or any learning disabilities that they have. You know, like, we have to take all that into consideration because everyone deserves to be safe. But when is the best time to put a weapon in someone's hand does require a little bit of assessment.
Right. Could you tell us what was one of the most trying times that you've had in your life and how did you overcome that trial with triumph?
Well, I have two different answers. I have one that's just life and one as an instructor. So the hardest thing that I had to overcome in my life was being raped at 16. And that was very detrimental to my relationships with men in my 20s, how I connected with friends. And so what I will tell you, the short answer to that is, you know, if that's something that's happened to you, you definitely need to find a quality counselor And people say that all the time, and it almost sounds cliche, but therapy is everything. And you need it if you have been taken advantage of that way. And you need to also understand that all that is something that happened to you. It's not everyone is out to get you. There are great men still in the world, but you have some emotional damage that you need to overcome. And unfortunately, the assault is not something that we can necessarily control once it happens. But our healing is our responsibility, and we have to take responsibility for that. And I know it sounds backwards, but we do. And from an instructional standpoint, one of the hardest things that I had to overcome was I had a student come to me. She was about to graduate college. She was 22. She was not going to have a roommate anymore. She got a great job. She was going to be living on her own. And she wanted to learn how to defend herself, but she didn't have all of her fingers. And so she thought that maybe shooting a gun or being able to have a gun was not going to be for her. And I didn't believe that, but I also didn't have the answer right away. And so one of the veterans that I worked with at the time who had seen combat, who was also a gun instructor, who had different experiences than me. And this is something that we have to understand as instructors, is we have to ask for help for things that we don't know. Like this idea of your ego is not your amigo. Let's just make that very clear. And if you don't have experience in something, you need to go ask. And so I went to him and I was like, I don't know if you're gonna be able to help me or not, but you know, I got this chick that wants to learn how to shoot and I think she can do it, but she doesn't have all of her fingers. He was like, oh, piece of cake. I've taught all kinds of veterans without fingers and hands and all kinds of stuff to shoot. And so we came up with a plan together, you know, and we put her on a pathway. And man, that was so cool. I mean, that was probably one of the neatest student teacher experiences from a firearms perspective I've ever had. And so it just kind of, and it makes you go, well, now what excuse do you have? The chick with eight fingers figured out how to shoot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Check this out. One of our friends, he's a combat veteran. He was wounded in war, significantly wounded. He lost his eyesight and he goes out hunting all the time. They created an app for people who are blind that want to go out hunting. Now, obviously he has a spotter with him as well.
Sure.
But the app can detect, you know, different things like, we'll say deer hunting, would detect the movement, the deer, and then you have the spotter, you know, behind him kind of helping guide him verbally. And he is a really great hunter and he's blind. So I truly believe pretty much anybody can go, you know, learn how to shoot a gun.
It's so. How willing are you to overcome the obstacle? And that's on you, you know, and I tell people all the time, and it's a quite unpopular opinion, but I believe in it. I think that people are better than other people, you know, that this whole cliche statement of, well, nobody's better than you. Yeah, they are. They sure are. It's just how temporary that is dependent on how hard you're willing to work.
Yes.
Right. So there are a lot of people who have achieved way more than I have in their life, and they are better than me. In a lot of different ways. And so if I want to achieve that level, I got to figure out how to get to the top, right? And I've got to get good mentors and good people around me. And I've got to be able to, you know, manage my time well and work hard. And then I'm better than some other people, you know, that aren't willing to get it together and move forward with their life and manage their money correctly and manage their life well, right? So that's really what we should be saying is, you know, it's a temporary thing based on how hard you're willing to work.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So could you share all of your social media with everybody?
Yes, absolutely. I am on Instagram at Clearing the Chamber. I am on Twitter at Jera Hutchins, J-E-R-A-H, and then Hutchins with an I. And then I'm on Facebook at Clearing the Chamber is my business page. And then I also have a public page that you can follow at Jera Hutchins. I haven't made it onto Truth Social yet. I'm going to get there. I'm just kind of trying to figure everything else out first. I'm also on LinkedIn at Jera Hutchins. And I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn. You know, contrary to what LinkedIn might think, they kicked me off for a week because they said that I broke their community standards. And I appealed it and won because they need to start recognizing that teaching responsible gun ownership is a business. And it is a viable occupation and it needs to be recognized in the LinkedIn network. And if they can, you know, if they can let pages like the female lead represent women as victims all the time, then they can let me start representing women as winners and champions and people who overcome victimhood. And we need that balance.
I love that. Censorship is huge. Those who are listening and watching, if you haven't heard yet, actually, I'm with a company called American Ink, and our website's coming out hopefully this week. But all of our videos, all of our content is going to be on our website because unfortunately, I've also been censored. I was censored when I posted a picture of an American flag and it said America the Beautiful, and I was censored. So, we're over the censorship. My partners are also in the documentary 2000 Mules. So, doing some amazing things. And I'm really glad that you fought LinkedIn because it's just ridiculous how our rights are being taken away. So,
yeah. And I wasn't posting anything that was, I don't even think it was controversial. I mean, it was literally like it was a Mother's Day post and it was like, hey, I think a great gift that you could give your mother if she's interested is gun lessons. Like if she's going to own one, she needs to understand how to use it. And I think that that's something that not a lot of people think about for a Mother's Day gift, but a lot of women are talking about learning how to shoot guns. I mean, we are the biggest growing demographic of firearms owners in the United States is women. And so, you know, why wouldn't you think about that? You know, and then just, oh, you violated our community standards because you're talking about guns. I talk about guns all the time on LinkedIn, and this is the first time you've ever seen it. You know, I mean, come on. It doesn't matter. I'm not giving a call to arms. I'm not telling anyone to be violent. I'm literally, this is my business and you are the social network for businesses. So you need to understand that people have businesses outside of what you deem to be viable occupations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh boy. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And again, I just really appreciate your time and everybody want you to go over to Jarrah's websites and check her out. I'm going to have all of her social media links on the screen. So if you're watching, you'll be able to see it there. If you're listening to the show, you can go over to the show notes and you'll be connected that way. So thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything else that you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, just manage your time well. It's time to make time to train. It's time to make time to make your safety a priority. So ditch the Starbucks for a week and you'll be able to afford a class. Tell your friends you can't go to brunch one Sunday so that you can get your introduction to handgun lesson in. Actually, you could probably do both because introduction to handguns like an hour. And then you can go to brunch and talk to your friends about it. But this idea that I don't have time to train guns. Yes, you do. You have time. You're just a terrible time manager.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Yes. And besides that, I mean, your life is priceless. And so, you know, people can come up with the time. They can come up with the money to do what they really want to do. And if you want to protect yourself, protect your family, I highly suggest that you go over to clearingthechamber.com and check it out.
Yes, it will be up soon. Give me a few days. I'm just adding some classes, so it's under construction, but you'll be able to check back soon.
Awesome. And probably by the time this comes out, it'll come out next week. So it should be out. All right. Awesome. Great. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And thank you for your time, Jarrah. And I just appreciate you. And don't forget to tune in next Friday for the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Wake Up with Patty Catter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
An American Ink podcast.
Be sure to join the private Wake Up with Patty Catter Facebook group to interact directly with Patty.
I love being a part of such a great community.
Don't forget to follow Patty on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Patty Catter. And make sure to subscribe to the show.